You know, when something is about to happen or an event is about to happen, it just pays to prepare for it. And the same is true for when it comes to the holiday season. And as of today, there are just 12 days left until Christmas. And so if you haven't prepared for the season yet, it's time to trim the tree, check the lights, hang the wreath, time to bake those cookies, bake the fudge, or make the fudge. Do you bake fudge? I don't know how you make fudge. If you make some, let me know. I'd like to try it. Anyway, hang the stockings, fill them up. Time to get your Christmas shopping done. Online is the best way. Express it, because time is running out, you know. Wrap up those presents, attach the tags, put on the bows. Time to address the cards, send the cards, receive cards from people that you haven't heard from since last year. Time to make plans for a trip out of town, COVID or not, you know. Time to welcome the kids and their families back home. Time to prepare for the season. Now, preparing for the Christmas holiday, trimming and trappings is one thing. But what about preparing our hearts for the season? Think about it. You know, for a lot of people, this time of year becomes a bother instead of a blessing. It becomes full of headaches rather than hallelujahs. And all because we fail to heed the words spoken by the prophet in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3. To prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Now, we know that those words were fulfilled in the ministry of John the Baptist. And, you know, they're not talking about a highway construction project or anything like that. But it was through John's message of reform and repentance that the people were prepared for the coming of the Messiah. John helped to prepare the hearts of the people to welcome Jesus as the Christ. And we can do the same thing too. So today, what we want to do is spend a few minutes talking about three things that we can do to prepare for the season. About three things that we can do to prepare our hearts for Jesus and help others to welcome him too. And the first thing that we can do to prepare our hearts for the season is to become like a child again. Turn over to the Gospel of Luke, and let's read Luke chapter 18, verses 15 through 17. Again, Luke 18, 15 through 17. There we read that people were also bringing babies to Jesus to have him touch them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." The story goes that after some last-minute Christmas shopping with her grandchildren, Grandma was rushing them into the car when 4-year-old Jason said, "Grandma, Susie has something in her pocket." She reached into her pocket and pulled out a brand new red beret. Well, she took little Susie back into the store, put the item back where she found it, and then went back through the checkout with some other things. There at the checkout, the clerk asked, "Have you kids been good so that Santa will come?" "Well, I've been very good," replied Jason. "My sister just robbed the store." Point is, Christmas is for kids, you know, or so they say. You know, I often hear people say that, and I kind of wonder what they mean. Really, think about it. Do they mean that they've gotten a little too old to enjoy the holiday season? I sometimes, you know, detect a little sadness when they say that. Maybe like, Christmas is for kids, you know. Or maybe even a little longing for the days when they enjoyed Christmas as a child. Oh, Christmas is for kids. You know, something like that. But in looking at Luke 18, Jesus tells us that as grown-ups, as adults, we need to become like little children. As a matter of fact, he once told a man named Nicodemus that the only way to see the kingdom of God is to be born again. And Nicodemus didn't quite understand And he, you know, what Jesus meant about being born of the water and the Spirit, and how he needed to be baptized and start his life over again, born again, you see. And Jesus says something similar here in Luke 18 when his disciples think that Jesus is too busy and important to take time for children. Jesus tells them, guys, don't you realize how important these kids are? Children are your model for how to enter and how to live in God's kingdom. And so Jesus says, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Okay, so what did Jesus mean by that? Well, first of all, let me tell you what he didn't mean. He doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with growing up. There's a big difference between being childlike and being childish. Believe it or not, children aren't always little angels, and Jesus is not discouraging us from maturing with age. In fact, that's the problem, I think, with way too many people nowadays. Those adults out there, they just haven't grown up. They haven't outgrown their temper tantrums, or their selfishness, or their unforgiveness. But despite all of the negative things that we lay aside as we grow up, there are some really good things that we need to hold on to, no matter how old we get. So what are some of those good things? Well, let me suggest two of them that will help us prepare our hearts for the season and help others welcome him too. The first is dependence. Just think about children. Children need somebody to take care of them, don't they? You know, sure, you know, they do some things for themselves, but they depend upon adults to do many of the things that they can't do. And, you know, most kids don't mind that arrangement at all. Think about it. If you have good parents, you probably aren't worrying about things like food or clothes or how you're going to get to school. You know, you trust your parents to take care of you. You see, children are models of the kind of trust and dependence upon God that we all need. Back in John chapter 14, shortly after Jesus told the disciples that one of them would betray him and that Peter would deny him, Jesus then encourages them, starting in verse 1, by saying, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Believe in God. Have faith in God. Trust or believe or have faith also in me," Jesus says. Think about it. You know, we need to have a certain level of trust, a certain level of belief, a certain level of faith in God, like the way a child does with their parents. Of course, not to depend on him to do what they can do, but to depend on him for what they cannot do. The point is, we are to depend upon God like a child depends upon their parents. The second thing that we see here to help us prepare our hearts for the season is wonder. Children simply see the world differently, don't they? I mean, you know, they're amazed at simple things like a caterpillar spinning a cocoon, or just a caterpillar walking across the ground or up a branch or a tree or something, a shooting star, you know, a waterfall cascading off of a mountainside, you know? They see beauty in things that grown-ups tend to take for granted. And not just in nature, but in the Bible. For example, they hear the story of David and Goliath, or Daniel in the lion's den, or Jesus walking on water, and they're amazed, you know? But, you know, as we age, we get, I don't know, too old for all that stuff, you know? But really, you know, why is it that we don't want to take the time to see? Why is it that we don't want to take the time to wonder? Just imagine if Moses just walked on by the burning bush instead of stopping. Now, you know, I do not celebrate Christmas as a Christian holiday because it's no more Christian than George Washington's birthday. But I do recognize it as a secular holiday, kind of like the 4th of July or Labor Day. But all of the holidays that we recognize in some way have their purpose. And so Christmas is very much about life. You know, it's about hope. It's about promise. It's about family. You know, we could just let the season pass us by without slowing down to wonder at it all, or we could stop and be amazed at the joy that this time of year brings to so many. The point is, it's about looking at things like a child again. It's about appreciating all that this season can mean, like love and family and friends, and remembering that God is the one who makes this all possible. It's about depending upon Him and having a sense of wonder in all that God makes possible for us. The first four verses of Psalm 19 comes to mind, where David writes, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they put forth His speech, pour forth His speech, pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the end of the earth." And just think about it again. When Jesus tells us that we need to be like little children, He's not talking about us regressing to childish ways, you know, but instead He wants us to depend upon and trust in God. You know, instead of worrying and fretting about everything, especially with all this COVID stuff going on, He wants us to stop and take the time to look around at the wonder of God's world and the wonder of God's word. And the wonder of not just what God did back then, but what God is doing right now, and appreciate what we have right now. You know, God will do great things in the future. The point is, becoming a child again is a great way to prepare our hearts for the season and help others to welcome Him too. The second thing that we can do to prepare for the season is to rediscover the blessing of giving. Over in the book of Acts, when the Apostle Paul is saying his goodbyes to the elders that shepherd the church in Ephesus and explaining about the work he did with them, he says this in Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. He says, "In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus Himself, who said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" It is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, that's not the way a lot of people think, though, is it? You know, almost 150 years ago, the character Jo in Louisa May Alcott's story, Little Women, said this: "Christmas won't be Christmas without any presents." That's kind of true for a lot of people, you know? But the trouble is that most of the time we want to be on the receiving end of all those presents. And so Paul encourages the leaders in the church at Ephesus to follow in his footsteps in matters of doctrine and compassion. And he tells them that they also are supposed to copy his sacrificial lifestyle, his style of ministry. And he quotes the words of Jesus Himself, words that are found nowhere else in any of the four Gospels. Now, we don't know if Jesus spoke these words directly to the Apostle Paul, or if he heard them from another disciple, but the fact is, Jesus said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And that sounds just like something that the greatest giver would say, doesn't it? As a matter of fact, Jesus did say something very similar back in Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, when He said that we are to give, and it will be given to you, a good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It will be poured into your lap, for with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Of course, we don't want to take this the wrong way. You know, what Jesus says here in Luke 6 is not about material giving, but about forgiving in context. His point is that those who are merciful will receive even greater mercy, and those who give no mercy will receive what they give. Still, the idea is the same. Giving brings more blessing to the giver than the receiver. The trouble is that most people don't see it that way. Our culture is a lot more about getting than giving. You know, think about it. You know, think about kids during this time of the year. You know, they make a list of what they want to get for Christmas. You know, this long list that gets folded up and mailed off to Santa, you know. What if kids wanted to, instead, were told to make a list of what they want to give? Of course, you know, we don't mind buying presents for people, but, you know, we think, well, if I buy someone a present, they better buy me one too, right? You know, because a lot of people don't just give gifts, they exchange gifts. And that's really how the world thinks, doesn't it? But that's just the opposite of what Jesus said here in Acts 20:35. Now, there's nothing wrong in getting presents or exchanging gifts. I like getting presents as much as anyone else, you know? You know, all we want to see here, though, is that Jesus and Paul are telling us that the pleasure of receiving a gift cannot compare to the pleasure of giving a gift. Just think about the joy and blessings it brings us when we collect and deliver the food baskets that we do every November in our community. And the rejoicing that happens when we donate money for Mission Sunday and the spread of the gospel around the world. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Of course, it doesn't have to be so grand or organized. It could just simply be, you know, sharing with the person that you want to share with whatever you have and just sort of forget about it, you know? Or maybe when you give some of your time to visit a shut-in who is just drowning in loneliness, or maybe when you send a card or a note or a package to a soldier overseas who's spending another night in danger to keep you safe here at home. Or what about something you want to give to someone else that they really, really need, you know? You know, that is a blessing beyond any gift you could ever receive for yourself. And God knows this the best, right? He's given us everything. He's given us life. He's given us what we need. And the most important thing that we need is Jesus. God has given us Jesus. Remember, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16. And so when we give, we're doing what God does. Again, you know, we can prepare both our hearts and the hearts of others for this season by rediscovering the blessing of giving. And the third thing that we can do to prepare for the season is to turn on the lights. I like Christmas lights. I really do. At one time, I used to decorate my home and the front yard with all kinds of lights, you know. Climb up on the roof, hang up those icicles, check every bulb. It's a lot of work, you know. But I like to actually watch the lights rather than put them up. So I like to put the lights on the tree, just kind of watch the rhythm of the lights on the tree at our home. It's sort of hypnotic. You look at the ceiling, you see the branches reflected at night. It's beautiful, you know. And I like to drive around and take a look at the lights in the neighborhood that people put up and the creativity and the design, you know. It's really beautiful. The Lord Jesus has called himself in the scriptures the light of the world. But he also calls his disciples, and that's you and me, right, to reflect his light and become lights to the world around us, pointing others to Jesus. And Paul echoes that same idea in Philippians chapter 2 and verses 14 and 15 when he tells us to do everything without complaining or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. That's a pretty bright light, shining like a star, right? You know, here Paul pictures the world without Christ in deep darkness. and the children of God as lights in that darkness. Think about it. You know, God wants us all to live differently, not like the world, right? You know, when everybody else is griping and fussing, we are to practice being content and be thankful and loving. And so if the people we work with live selfishly and carelessly without thinking about the Lord, then we definitely need to make sure we're living right, you know, to be blameless and pure and without fault. We are to be shining examples of Jesus Christ to those around us. So let your light shine before men so that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 5:16. And while we are to shine all of the time, this season is an especially good time to shine. And I don't just mean that, you know, it's our time to show off how good we think we are, anything like that, or how bad we think we are. You know, it's not a time to get self-righteous, you know. On the other hand, it is a time to show people how Jesus changes our lives, how Jesus came to give us peace with God and peace with one another, how Jesus came to give us purpose in life and hope after death. Think about it. Our job as a light for the world is to show those in darkness why Jesus came and to lead them to the light of the world that can light up the darkness. You know? And that doesn't happen just by accident. You've got to prepare yourself to shine for Jesus. You've got to pray and you've got to ask him for opportunities to share his love with others. You've got to take the time to think about how you will tell them, you know, what you will tell them when they ask what makes your life so different. Again, 1 Peter 3:15 comes to mind, where we're encouraged to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But we're reminded right here in the text to do this with gentleness and respect. So let me challenge you this season to shine bright and beautiful as a light for the Lord. There are folks living in darkness who need somebody to shine the light of the gospel of God's love into their lives. And you could be that light if you'll prepare your heart this season. So have you been preparing for the season? Think about it. You know, we can merely survive the Christmas season and gripe and complain about the whole thing and you know, yawn and note the inaccuracies when you hear the Christmas story on whatever show is playing, you know. And you can just simply be glad when the whole thing is over. Or we can prepare for the season. We can prepare for the season and help others prepare for Christ by becoming like a child again, and by rediscovering the blessing of giving, and by being shining lights in a dark world. You know, the holiday season is not the only season to prepare for. There's the stormy season and the seasons, well, of life, and ultimately the preparation for Christ's return. Are you prepared to meet God? If you are, that's great. You know, if not, then you need to confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and to repent of your sins and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, Acts 2:38. And when you do that, you'll come up out of the water born again, walking in newness of life, rejoicing in your salvation, and prepared to meet God and be ready to prepare others to meet God. Again, if anyone has the need to share or to seek prayer, or to become a Christian for the very first time, I would like to encourage you to message us through Facebook or YouTube, or you can email me directly at minister@obchurch.org. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for giving us Jesus. We thank you for the light that he is, Father, leading us to you. We thank you for all that you've done in preparing our hearts to receive you. And Father, as we enter this season, this time of the year that can be so frustrating and tiring for so many people, Father, we pray that you will bless us with the childlike dependence upon you. And Father, help us to be givers and help us to shine our light to all those around us who are struggling and living in darkness, so that they too may come into the light that is your love for all of us. Father, we thank you for your love and for your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, we want to thank you for making us a part of your Lord's Day. We pray that you'll assemble with us every Sunday morning at 11 right here